When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Back and better than ever. Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance, and we are loaded today. We will hear from Harden, from Simmons, from Silver as the NBA heads to the All-Star break. We've got next year's Super Bowl, this year's draft, and the one person worse at his job than anyone else on earth. All that and more. Let's go.
Here we go.
Only one place to start.
Now, the one place to start, as always, is with the members of the crew good enough to hang out with me here in studio with the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise, no way we could do better than having Rob Ninkovich and Kimberly Martin hanging around with us today. Kmart, we debuted a new segment on Get Up today.
We did.
You got your own feature. It's called Attention Kmart Shopper.
Finally.
I thought it went well.
Finally. It only took 2 years of me being at ESPN, so that's great, guys. That's great.
That's what it took. We got you a little bit there. You told it, and I loved the segment, and we never got back to one of the things that you said. Go ahead, Nico.
That was the first, when I was drafted by the Saints, the first thing I did, I went over to Kmart, got myself, I got the silverware set, I got the plate set. I think it was the Martha Stewart living set.
Yeah.
It was economical
Greeny,
at the time.
Greeny's like, gosh,
me
wow.
Too.
Tell economical. Me more about that. I don't know what that's like.
I put
like,
it all in a Rubbermaid bin, and I lived out of a bin.
Rubbermaid. Oh.
Yeah. That's, and then I moved around for 3 years. I never had a home, so it was kind of like perfect. I would just bounce around place to place, throw it in a truck, ship it to the next place.
We've had extremely different life experience, you and I,
Rob
Ninkovich. But let me come to Kmart, who went to elementary school like four blocks from where I grew up. So we've had a little more a similar upbringing here in New York. But one way or another, the first thing you said in your Attention Kmart Shopper was that one of the things you would like to see is Russell Wilson lined up in Pittsburgh this offseason. Why?
I just feel like with Russ having teams already, like his agent already having a list of five teams, like I feel like if you already have that, you've got one foot out the door mentally, right? So you move on. I feel like the Steelers are one of those winning organizations, winning traditions. You've got one of the best stable franchises, one of the best head coaches. And I understand Russ has issues with the O-line in Seattle. Pittsburgh's O-line hasn't been great. But if Ben Roethlisberger can throw some passes behind it, Russ, I just picture him scrambling and just being dynamic. And I guess because I watched that Pittsburgh offense look so lifeless for so many weeks that they just eked into the playoffs, it would be so great to see Russ just put on a show in that Steelers uniform.
It's such a fascinating division, right? You have the Browns, who many, including me, thought
think it's
were
going to the Super Bowl.
Set up for a huge year, and we'll see what they do with the quarterback situation. You've got the Ravens, who were just decimated by injury, but were most people's favorite, and they'll have Lamar Jackson back, and we'll see what from there. The Bengals, who were just in the Super Bowl 3 days ago. And then you have Pittsburgh, which has owned that division forever. That almost feels like an afterthought. But, Nico, I completely agree. You put Russell Wilson on that team and make a move or two on the offensive line, I could see the Steelers going, well, they're not, wouldn't be from 0 to 60, from wherever they are to 60 really fast. You look skeptical.
Yeah, the biggest problem is they're in the wrong conference. They're in the wrong conference. They're competing against a lot of very, very good football teams.
Yeah.
And you would think that if you're in the NFC, you're on that side of things. I don't see him going to Pittsburgh and the environment. You would think of a coach like Mike Tomlin, who is a great coach, but where's Russell Wilson been his whole career?
Mm-hmm.
He's been with the complete opposite type coach, like just a completely different mentality, a completely different environment.
Mightn't that be a good thing? Isn't a fresh start at 32 or 3, whatever.
Well, here's
he
another
is.
Thing, too. You talk about running around and stuff. He's not a young guy anymore.
Right.
So his game has got to change. He's 32 years old. Like, he can't expect to be mobile, running around, getting hit like he had early in his career. Like, he has progressed to being basically a pocket quarterback who can get out of certain situations and buy some time, but he's still evaluating to throw the ball down the field. you know, he's been in Seattle so long that I think there's something to be said about him staying where he's at, you know, and being there and then building around a franchise quarterback. And we talk about how important the quarterback position is and how hard it is to find a quarterback that is capable of winning Super Bowls. So I think if you're Seattle, you try and hang on to him as best you can. And I think that the Pittsburgh idea is probably of all the other teams mm-hmm. in that division, you know, the Browns, right? If the Browns don't want a quarterback of Baker anymore, like if you put him in that position, I think the Browns are
better,
unstoppable.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Unstoppable.
Who's that quarterback? This is Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $700 on average. Who's that quarterback that you could go to Cleveland and you would say, okay, now they're the team?
Did you say
Jimmy Garoppolo? Yeah, who's the guy?
No, I said the Colts. I think if Jimmy G went to the Colts, I think the Colts, especially the way they're
built. How about
to
Cleveland? Jameis Winston. I'm just throwing names out there.
I think
if Baker Mayfield's not the answer, who is?
Man, I don't think it's Baker. I mean, anybody else that's not Baker Mayfield with that roster, if they can throw the football,
do they think it's Baker? You know the Browns better than anybody.
What we've seen is that not everybody in that building is convinced that Baker is the issue, is the answer. So what we will see this offseason is whether it's via the draft or free agency, Cleveland will be in the market for a quarterback. If you put Aaron Rodgers or Russell in there,
boom,
put him in the Super Bowl. But those guys are not going to go to Cleveland. So I went to the, you know, just a tier below, and I feel like somebody like Derek Carr, granted, not the greatest quarterback, but he's good. He's very good. And I think the Browns have the pieces. And right now they don't seem fully 100% confident that Baker is the guy.
So the issue with Baker is 3rd and 10+.
Mm-hmm.
And every great quarterback on 3rd and 10+, you have to be able to throw the football down the field accurately and have the confidence and have the guys around you that think like, okay, I know this guy can throw it on 3rd and 12, 3rd and 15.
Mm-hmm.
His biggest issue is throwing the ball in the pocket on 3rd down situations. Everything else, 1st, 2nd down, okay, hand the ball off, play action pass, intermediate routes. Okay, he can do that.
Right.
But what sets him apart and what sets a lot of the great ones from just average quarterbacks is that 3rd down, got to have it. Throwing the ball down the field on the money accurately. And that's
and they don't
not
ask
what he's,
him to do a
he
lot.
He hasn't
they
been able to do that.
To do a lot.
So when you play the Browns, what do you do? Number one, stop the run.
Right.
Number two, try and put him in these situations longer down in distances.
Yep.
And he has not been able to pass that test.
This is Greeny. It was time for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless with Kmart and Rob Ninkovich in our studio here. That brings us then to the two really huge names in all of this. The Aaron Rodgers of it all and the Tom Brady of it all. I mean, quick takes on those. Ninko, starting with Brady, your longtime teammate. He could shut down all this talk, everyone speculating about whether he's going to come back or not, because he just – there's been – I use this term advisedly, sort of a wishy-washiness about his retirement Instagram posts and then everything he has said ever since. He's a calculated person. Why do you think he's doing that? What do you think is going to happen with
Brady? He's keeping the door open. He's not slamming that door closed. And there's going to be an opportunity. 100% I think that there is an opportunity. A team will call him at some point. And I said this before, it's going to happen. A team is going to be desperate. They're going to have a position like the quarterback position. We know that's the most important position, and they need a guy like Tom Brady to come in and to take advantage of the pieces that they have. So which team will that be? We will see, but I guarantee 100% he's going to get a call. How you feeling, Tom? Are you in shape? Are you thinking about coming out? We have an opportunity here. We could do some special stuff if you're on this roster, and he'll have to make that decision. So I don't think he wants to close that. I think that when you finalize it, maybe people don't make the call. Oh, yeah, he's done. He doesn't want to think about football anymore. When you say, like, we'll see. I'll sell some shirts that say keep going. Then it kind of keeps that interest in other teams, and they say, okay, let's reach out to Tom. Let's see what he thinks.
We have one of the most competitive guys ever to play the game, arguably the best quarterback ever, and he has not slammed the door on retirement. That's all I need to know.
Yeah.
He just threw for
5,000 yards.
It's an option. So. He didn't limp off the field. He just said, I'm going to take some time away.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think he retired for the right reasons, which is I think the people in his life, the people around him want him to. But that can I could see that becoming very challenging for him. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Super quick. Kmart, the biggest decision that will probably come most quickly is Aaron Rodgers. What when we start hearing this news coming out of Green Bay or wherever it comes from, what is your best speculation it's
going to
be?
There are only two spots, him staying in Green Bay or him going to Denver. Those are the only two locations that people talked about. It makes sense with Nathaniel Hackett. I was told that Aaron was good, was amenable to Denver. If one of his Green Bay guys ended up there, Hackett's there, we're about to see where Aaron wants to be.
It just all the breadcrumbs lead there, right, Nico? It just feels like it's too obvious for it not to happen at this point, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to come down to Aaron Rodgers. Like, what does he want to do? And he can put the team in a really tough situation if he says, you know what, I just whatever you think you can do to mend this, I just don't want to be here. I've been here a long time. December is killing me here. Like, I want to go somewhere else, a better environment, basically. And I think that what's best for Green Bay is to keep a two-time MVP. And if you let that guy walk, you possibly could put yourself in a situation where everyone's like, why would you let the best quarterback we've ever had go? Mm-hmm. Why would you let a guy like Aaron Rodgers out the door? You look like an idiot. So there's that side to it, that whoever's making that decision, it could come back to you and you could look really silly for doing it. But it all comes down to Aaron Rodgers. If he wants to go, he could make it impossible for them to keep him.
He's going to – I think this is going to come to a head by March 8th. Again, March 8th is the deadline day for franchise tags, which greatly impacts Devontae Adams, who's very much a factor in the middle of all of this. So I think that's, you know, what is it, less than 3 weeks, and we're going to know where this thing goes. All right, one last thing for the two of you. Kmart, I'll start with you. We showed some video today during my interview with Adam Silver of my performances in the Celebrity All-Star Game. The first year was 2014 in New Orleans when I was a player. I played really well, I thought. Mm-hmm. And then the following year at the Garden, 2015, I was a coach. I was an unbelievably good coach.
So good.
What was your reaction to all of that?
Greeny, I have never seen better form.
Yeah. The J.
The jumper. It may not have made it to the rim.
Yeah. A little short.
Necessary. Just a little short.
Came up short.
But aside from that, perfect.
The coaching aspect, all day.
Oh, yeah. All
the
day.
The clapping,
all day.
The pointing,
the pumping,
the hand one, everything.
Boom.
You looked the part.
Yeah.
The suit,
the
everything looked immaculate.
Yeah,
I was coaching, and you will appreciate this, Kmart, in a suit and J's.
Oh,
I had a J's on.
Well,
he's got the swag.
Yeah.
He's got swag,
it
too.
Does
on
not.
That. Listen, the J, though, the jumper, yeah. Like the jersey, the, you know, first thing I saw was just drawn to your
bear
arms.
Skin.
The bear skin on the arms, because I know it was probably when's
bear,
the
it's in February. It's right now. It's this
it's
week.
In February. Well, yeah. So, you know, you're the sun. You're in Connecticut. You
I wasn't
really
very
have
tan.
A tan.
Yeah.
Yeah. You
no.
were looking pretty clear.
You're looking very see through. Is
my,
what yes. Rob is
my arms yes. were the color of milk.
Yeah.
Basically,
you look like you had tube socks on your arms. You know?
That was not my most attractive moment. And I did go in that game a very respectable
great defense.
0-for-1
playing great defense.
And I was thrown into a stanchion by Michael B. Jordan, the actor Michael
B.
Jordan.
Hello.
I was back on it trying to defend a 2-on-1 break. I was the one. Mm-hmm. And I forget who was on the other side from him, but they're coming at me. And I thought, all right, I'm standing in here and I'm going to try and dive for a steal.
I would have dived on top of him.
I'm going to dive at his right hand. He's coming at me. I figured he's a movie star. He's not a basketball player. He probably can't switch it over. So I'm going to dive at his right hand. I dove at his right hand. He went right. We collided. It didn't seem to affect him much. I was thrown into the stanchion. Literally, I think I left my feet. I think I actually was, at one moment, I was airborne.
Now we need a clip of that.
When he was in the studio here, we talked about it.
Can
we
try to get Michael B. Jordan to talk about this?
He was here.
That would be a good, you know, two stories, which each side thought you were thrown off your feet.
Yes.
You might say, like, I felt like, you know, a little fly run into
it. It didn't seem to bother him in the way that it bothered me. He was here. We talked about it. We did all of this. So it was a good memory. Anyway, you guys are the best. Thank you very much. Kmart Robnikovich, always a pleasure. Get up and then some here on the radio. Hey, try the $45 Silver Unlimited plan from Straight Talk Wireless with nationwide 5G on America's best networks. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. Up next, we got Nick Shea, the McBoard. His mock draft 2.0 is out, and it's fascinating, and you'll hear him next. It's Get Up on, no, it's not. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio.
Greeny, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Once again, you can go to ESPN Plus right now and see Todd McShay's Mock Draft 2.0 in its entirety. And McShay jumps in with us here on ESPN Radio. Hello again, McShay.
Hey, Greeny. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. And, you know, on the TV show, we focus in on the quarterbacks because, you know, the draft is generally defined by those guys. And I get it. But I think it's worth pointing out again that this is not a year where the quarterbacks are in the center of the action. Because of their position, several of them will likely be drafted, perhaps, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, higher than they should be. This is a draft that is very deep in a lot of other places, but not at the quarterback position. Yes?
That's fair. It really is. And we've said it before, if you take this year's class and compare it to last year's, where we had five quarterbacks taken in the top 15, Mac Jones being the fifth quarterback taken to the Patriots at 15. I think the first quarterback off the board, if you were to combine both years' classes, would be the sixth quarterback. So it's not comparable when you're looking at last year to this year. But there are still quarterbacks that can come in and have success in the league. Kenny Pickett from Pittsburgh has 50 starts in college. He's the most NFL ready. And if you want a guy who can come in and you can compete with him, like a Mac Jones did last year, I'm not saying he has Mac Jones, you know, upside, but I do think he's similar in terms of maneuverability inside the pocket and pocket presence, processing, going through his reads, and then the accuracy throwing the ball on all three levels. If you're looking for that kind of guy who's not going to be a runner and not dynamic, then Pickett's your quarterback in this class. Malik Willis from Liberty is kind of the exact opposite. He's got a lot to learn and developing to do. And as Hugh Freeze said, his head coach at Liberty, he doesn't know what he doesn't know yet. And so it's going to be a learning curve and a transition for him. But in the meantime, because he's such a dynamic athlete and he's so explosive, he can get himself out of mistakes that a lot of other quarterbacks can't. And he has the biggest arm of all the quarterbacks. And if you just put together a highlight reel of his throws off balance, off platform, on the move, arm angles all over the place. I mean, you draft him number one overall. The problem is he's got to become more efficient inside the pocket. So those, to me, Pickett and Willis are the top two quarterbacks in this class. But if you're being honest with yourself, they're mid-first-round guys. They're not in the top 10. And we'll see if ultimately a team like the Panthers at 6, Falcons at 8, Broncos at 9 wind up reaching, if you will, to grab one of those quarterbacks.
Greeny and McShay. So then let's talk about, because here we can get a little more into the nitty gritty, and we got the real hardcore fans here who are getting ready for this. So if you're a team, or if you're a fan, excuse me, whose team is picking up in that first group of the draft, you know, Jaguars, Lions, Texans, Jets, Giants, that group, what positions should those fans be looking to? Where are the top players? What positions do the very best players in this draft play?
You've got to love the offensive tackle position at the top of the draft. You know, I've got Evan Neal going to the Jaguars at number one overall from Alabama. He's a monster of a man, 360 plus pounds, and he can move and he'll protect your quarterback's blind side. Ikem Ekwonu from North Carolina State is the most physically dominating offensive lineman in this class. I've got him going number four to the Jets, and he's just a tone setter. And he's also very good in pass protection. And, you know, so you got two guys right there in the top four. And then I had Charles Cross going number seven overall coming out of Mississippi State. I think he's probably the most NFL-ready in terms of pass protection, but he's still kind of developing his all-around game. So those are the three offensive tackles you'll hear mentioned in the top 10. Defensive end, and that's the beauty, and that's kind of why I love coming on your show. We can dive into this a little bit. Mm-hmm. If you're not drafting a quarterback, let's look at positional need. To me, it's you've got to have guys that can get after the quarterback. Who are the best pass rushers? That's the second most important position, and this draft is loaded with pass rushers. You've got defensive backs. I think you got to be able to cover these wide receivers, and this class is loaded as well. You've got Sauce Gardner. I had to go number six out of Cincinnati to the Panthers. You've got Derek Stingley. If you evaluate his 2019 tape, he could be in the mix in the top three overall. He just had some injuries the last couple of years. So the cornerbacks are there, the pass rushers are there, and the offensive tackles are there. And that to me is why it's a really good draft. We just don't have the quarterback, so it's not a sexy draft when you start talking about television and selling the product.
Yeah, and we'll be doing it on TV at the end of April, and these teams are going to get remade one way or the other. Greeny and McShay, who's with us here, another position, and as I have been starting, I've now done almost every player that was in Mel's first round of his last mock draft, and I'll dive into the rest of yours probably the end of this week. There's quite a few wide receivers that I like here, too. And, and you know, we saw the enormous success of Ja'Marr Chase this past year. I don't know if any of these guys are him, but there are quite a few wide receivers. I didn't count how many you have in here, but probably, what, five, six receivers to go in the first round?
Yeah, and just look at the last few years, Greeny. You know, wide receiver used to be kind of hit and miss in the first round.
Right.
You mentioned Ja'Marr Chase, like Jalen Waddle, you know, the impact that he had. Devontae Smith. I mean, these guys are coming in and making immediate impacts. And this year's class, it may not have the guy in the top three, four, five, but I think the depth of this class is as good as any group we've seen in the last 5 years. And that's saying a lot because we've gotten lucky. We've been on a great run with wide receivers coming out of the college ranks. And so, yeah, I have Drake London from USC going as the first receiver. I've got him going to the Falcons at number eight. They obviously, with Calvin Ridley's situation, they need another receiver and to kind of match up with Kyle Pitts, who is a star as a rookie tight end. And London's 6'5", basketball background, number one player in the country this past year on contested catches. After that, you've got Garrett Wilson, who's great when the ball's in the air, just adjusting to the football and can be a vertical threat coming out of Ohio State. I've got him going 13 to the Browns. After that, you look at Treylon Burks, who's a big physical receiver out of Arkansas, really good after the catch, and he's a huge mismatch in the slot. He loves playing in that slot where he can kind of take advantage going against inside guys and really good, as I mentioned, with the ball in his hands for such a big receiver over 6'3". Then after that, Chris Olave, who's a burner and a smooth route runner from Ohio State. Jameson Williams from Alabama, who I think would be the number one receiver in this class had he not suffered the injury in the national championship game. Mm-hmm. I mean, his speed is different. You just put on the tape. It's not just the vertical speed, which is sensational. I mean, you're talking about SEC defensive backs when the ball's in the air. He's 3 yards in front of a defensive back and then becomes 3 yards behind him in that split second when the ball goes up in the air. But also after the catch, he's so explosive. I've got him going 27 to the Buccaneers because of that injury. He falls a little bit. And then Jahan Dotson, who's a great slot receiver, catches the ball extremely well. I had him going to the Chiefs at 30. So right there, you're talking – I mean, there are five or six receivers, I think, in this class that go in the first round. And then there are a whole slew of receivers that are going to wind up coming off the board on day two, talking about rounds two and three in this year's draft.
Yeah, Dotson had 91 catches and 12 touchdowns at Penn State, just did him last night. Again, if you love all this draft stuff, you should check out the First Draft podcast. It's Mel and McShay and Field, and they go through different stuff all the time. And then you've got the SportsCenter special coming today. McShay's NFL Mock Draft 2.0 today, 5 o'clock Eastern time on ESPN2. So we look forward to all of that. Thank you, McShay, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, Greeny, take care, bud.
Looking forward to that. So that's a really good podcast. So was the ESPN Daily podcast, which gives you a deep dive into a single story from one of our hundreds of reporters. That was presented by Supercuts. You can download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily. It's available wherever you get your podcast. Meanwhile, the assembled members of the Hashtag crew are here, Hashtag Hembo and Hashtag Bubba. We don't have Nuno with us today. He's having a colonoscopy. Which I've had many of them. It's a very important procedure. I notice you laughing over there, and I think, you know, most people know what a colonoscopy is. Mm-hmm. It's not a pleasant experience, and I think we all sort of chuckle at the notion of Nuno having one, because anything that Nuno does is funny because he's Nuno. Having said that, you told me you have before I move on to the basketball, you have a trivia question for me.
I do. So on the TV show today, you asked Todd, if there's one quarterback in this year's class that you could imagine leading a team to the playoffs in the NFL next season, who would that quarterback be? My trivia question for you, Greeny, is who is the last quarterback to win a playoff game as a rookie?
All right, so the year Roethlisberger was a rookie, he beat the Jets in a playoff game. That's the game where Doug Bryan missed two field goals. So it's either that or it's more recent than that. So I know I can put that as my backstop. It doesn't go back any farther than that. That would have been that's the class of 04. So it would have been the 04 season.
Mm-hmm.
So has a rookie quarterback won a playoff game? Oh, yes, of course. I'm trying to think if anyone would have done a more... Okay, in the interest of time, I'm going to say it's Mark Sanchez.
That is incorrect.
Oh, damn it. So it's happened more recently than Sanchez.
It's happened more
Sanchez
recently.
Sanchez won two playoff games as a rookie. He won at Cincinnati, and then he won at San Diego, and then lost to the Colts in the AFC Championship game. So wait, it's happened more recently than Sanchez.
Mm-hmm.
Bubba, you got a guess?
I have no idea.
Yeah, Bob is not even listening. He's not even paying attention to what we're doing here. He's got 8 million other things going on.
You got a rough idea that you got a trivia question going on.
A rookie quarterback who's won a playoff game more recently than Sanchez. Am I going to kick myself? There a super obvious one?
You are going to kick yourself.
All right, well, just tell me.
Russell Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
Wilson in 2012 won a playoff
game. So that's more recently than Sanchez. Yeah. Okay, fair enough. That's a good one. I like it one way or the other. We'll see. These rookie quarterbacks, it's not a spectacular class. It's just not. There's no other way to say it. It's not a spectacular class of quarterbacks, and so you're going to have to get excited about players at other positions. And the reality is, you know, there's going to be a lot of free agent quarterback movement. And there were a lot of really good players in this draft. As he just said, there's three offensive tackles that are going. And I think it's possible that three offensive tackles go in the first six or seven picks.
Mm.
Those guys are all really good. He talked about Aquanu, who is really good. The kid from Alabama, Neal, is really good. I've started doing all this stuff. If you're interested in the draft, then you've come to the right place. Because we'll be doing plenty of it because I have all of this information and I need somewhere to use it. Because on draft night, I mostly will give you like a quick thumbnail and then say, Mel? And I know I'm ready with a lot more information than that if you need it. So we will get to that as we go. All right, I was going to get to all the basketball stuff here, but I don't really have the time right now. So I want to hold that for a moment. And you want to do the I just want you to know thing here? You want to have a little fun with that? Let's just do this. I think you'll like this.
I need you to listen carefully.
I just want you to know.
So there's something that happened in Russia that I think we can identify the one person on planet Earth who has done his job worse than any other man or woman has ever done theirs in their lives. Hembo was the one who pointed this out to me. This is a person who was a security guard. He was hired to be a security guard in a Russian art gallery. On his first day on the job, he found himself bored. Again, he's a security guard in an art gallery. Hembo, tell everyone what he did because he was a tad bored.
The security guard drew two pairs of eyes using a ballpoint pen onto an artist's painting entitled Three Figures. It was painted in the 1930s during an abstract art exhibition at this center in Russia. So if you're able to go online and see it, it's three faceless heads, if you will, two of which are now occupied with eyes from the ballpoint pen of a bored security guard.
The painting was on loan from the State Art Gallery in Moscow. Again, the guy explained he did it because he became bored on his first day. So just imagine. You know, like Bubba, you love Seinfeld as I do.
I mean, this is one of the greatest stories of all time.
All right?
I love this guy.
This is a George Costanza. Was that wrong?
This is so great.
He's hired as a security guard. He's bored, so he goes to a priceless work of art that was painted between 1932 and 1934. It took someone 3 years to paint this. It depicts a variety of faceless heads. And with a ballpoint pen, he drew eyes on them.
It's just so great.
And I've seen it. Hembo sent it to me. I'll put it up on my Twitter so everyone can see because the images are remarkable. You can't miss it. Like there's a before and after photo, or just post it yourself. Post it. What is your Twitter?
At Paul Hembo.
At Paul Hembo. Why is it Paul Hembo?
As opposed to?
Oh, your name is Paul.
Yeah,
I keep forgetting that. It's just Hembo to me.
I just retweeted it.
But he just retweeted it. So go to at Paul Hembo, and you will see two pictures. One of them is of a painting, a priceless work of art that was on loan from an art museum in Moscow to a small gallery somewhere, and a bored security guard took a ballpoint pen, Bubba, and just drew eyes on it. What do you make of that?
I think, wasn't it like his first day in the
first
job?
Day. First
that,
day.
That might be the craziest part, too. Like, he's his first day in the job, he's that bored at an art gallery. He can't even make it through one shift that he takes out a pen and draws. I mean, what would he have done if they didn't even catch him? Imagine he made it through his second shift, because he would have just, bored out of his mind on his second shift. And he would have been drawing. I mean, thank God they caught him on that first shift. Because if no one noticed,
I'm just trying to picture,
who knows what he would have done on the second shift.
The next morning when the gallery curator walked in, someone who's intimately familiar with what the art is supposed to look like, walked in and said, just imagine that interview, like the exit interview from that job. the last sentence of the paragraph is, he has since been fired, which I would assume. Imagine that conversation. Aww. So I don't know what his name is here, but let's just call him.
He was not named.
He was not named. Mm-hmm. Let's just call him Fred. So, Fred, I can't help but notice that from the time I left here to the time I returned, there are now eyeballs that have been drawn in ballpoint pen onto the painting. Do you have any idea how that may have happened?
So if you're a security guard, what is worse? Drawing on the painting or just effectively allowing someone to steal it?
Like, no, that would be way less worse. Like that they have insurance for. You've now defiled a work of art that I'm told it's not priceless. I'm told that it's worth $842,000. That's still a pretty valuable piece of art.
I'd say so.
And so that it would be way better to steal it yourself. It would also make a lot more sense.
I mean, how many activities are there you can do to avoid being bored? I mean, just bring your phone, bring a book. I'm sure they have TV. Take a walk. I mean, your first shift, you're that bored, you can't do anything else. You take out a pen and you write, read a book, for crying out loud.
Do the freaking Wordle.
Yeah,
I mean, what
exactly.
Are you doing with yourself
over
there?
Get the Russian Wordle going.
That's insane. So anyway, it did get me to thinking, and I'm going to break on this thought, and Bubba will do the read afterwards because I'm late. It did get me to thinking, what would be the sports equivalent of that? Like, what is the sports equivalent of having one job and doing it that badly? Let's think about that for a moment and come back with some examples. What would you have to do in sports to do a job equivalently badly to that guy doing that, drawing eyeballs and ballpoint pen onto faceless faces or faceless heads on a valuable work of art? We'll come back with that answer next on ESPN Radio.
Greeny, the podcast.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So we keep getting sidetracked by things. That's the beauty of a show like this, is that whenever something interests me, we can just sort of change direction. So we were talking a moment ago about this Russian artwork that was defiled by a bored security guard who drew eyeballs on it, which is just the funniest thing I've ever heard of. And we didn't come up with hilarious sports comparisons. Like, I guess a coach in football challenging a play that benefited his team. Like, if his team on fourth down, in a critical moment in a game, threw, on fourth and seven, threw an 8-yard completion, and the receiver seemed to bobble it, and the other team didn't have a challenge, so they couldn't challenge it, and then the coach of the benefiting team challenged it. That would be a similar thing. Shooting the basketball at your own basket. in the NBA, I guess, or kicking the soccer ball in your own goal would be something similar. There is really no comparison. Drawing eyeballs on a priceless work of art is just an incredible thing for a security guard to do, right? It's sort of unto itself.
How about a golf one? I'll give you a golf one. You're the caddy, and your golfer putts the ball, and because it's taking so long to arrive at the hole, you just swoop it up while it's on its way. Like, yeah. It's purposeful, right? That's what makes the story so ridiculous, is that this was not by accident. Like, if you score the ball in the wrong basket, that's usually an accident.
Right.
This was not an accident.
That's right. So there's almost no comparison in sports that would be quite bad enough. Having said that, you just got me thinking about something else. So Buster was on our ESPN Radio New York morning show today, Buster Olney, talking about how the baseball labor talks have gone nowhere. And there's only one conclusion that can be reached from that, and that is that one side or the other or both don't want to make a deal. Because Buster described a scenario in which they have not met for 2 weeks aside from a short, like literally 2-minute Zoom call. Well, there's no one who thinks that's the way this gets resolved. Literally no one, right? Neither side believes that. So at least one of the two sides is refusing to do more than that. Maybe both are, but at least one is. Which says to me, at least one of the two sides in this, management or labor, doesn't want a resolution to this. They want this to go into spring training and maybe even into the season because they think it benefits their side. Then you brought up, in 94, when the World Series got called off, you talked about the Ripken streak brought baseball back in 95 and then the home run chase in 98. And you described those as miracles. You know what I would describe them as? Baseball. Baseball will bring people back. There'll be something else. I don't know what it will be. But baseball will give you something, whether it's Jacob deGrom putting together the kind of season we've never seen before or something else. The game is too good, and they're counting on this. The people in charge of this sport are counting on the fact that the game is too good, too ingrained in our consciousness, and just candidly too important for people to abandon it completely. And that is part of the problem here, because they're counting on that, and that's why they're not in any rush to do this.
I agree with that, but I think their math is wrong. I think that we obviously had a 60-game season 2 years ago because of the pandemic. We should have had many more games than that. So we lost 102 games. That mattered a lot. And if we lose a big chunk of this season, that's going to matter a lot too. I mean, over the course of a 3-year span, losing that much baseball is a terrible thing for baseball, and relying on fans to love it so much that they'll always keep coming back is a problem in your business model. That is not something that you should assume. Now, I love baseball, and probably most people within the sound of my voice love baseball. But that is not a safe assumption to make, because like I said, if 1 in 100 people decide they don't want baseball anymore, that's a big deal.
Right.
And if 1 in 10 people decide they don't want baseball anymore, that's enough to fundamentally change the sport forever.
That's great. But you know what they're counting on?
Mm.
That whatever it is that they're battling over now is more important than that. It's more important than the 1 out of every 100 fans you may lose. And they're counting on the fact they won't lose 1 in 10. Because when that thing comes back, you're going back. You'll be mad. And then you'll go back.
Have you seen the way that World Series ratings have deteriorated over the last several years?
Yeah, but it is still...
So have they.
Of course. But it is still a ridiculously profitable business. And that's what it is to them. They're running a business.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about a labor of love. This isn't a labor of love for the people involved. This is a business. And they are approaching it as such. And when you consider it that way, I suppose you can't really be surprised. We have more to say about this. We'll continue in a moment on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and see it with the video on ESPN Plus. Also catch Greeny on Get Up weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN, and also available wherever you get your podcast.